produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Happy Friday. Good morning and welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. Thank you for joining me this morning. Here on the Mommy Meltdown, we have been going through a study called Sparkle and Shine and how as moms and wives and full-time workers, ladies who are running on the go all the time, who are constantly being pulled in all kind of different directions, how we as moms are still supposed to sparkle and shine, not just for the world, but for our homes, for our families, for our children. And we've been going through the book Sparkle and Shine and applying that to our motherhood journey and seeing how God wants us to use our light to influence and impact the lives of our children. So that's where we are today. We are starting on chapter 8. And I'm excited about this chapter. This is a fun little chapter for us. And listen, the title of this chapter is called The Best Kept Beauty Secret. And let me just say, as a mom in her 40s, you know, aging is not fun. Let's just be honest. You begin to notice more wrinkles. You begin to notice that you're not as energetic as you used to be. And your body changes and your mood changes and everything kind of changes as you begin to age. And one of the things I've decided is I'm not going to fight it. I see a lot of people who fight it. Oh, they begin to do the Botox and they begin to do the surgeries and they dress in a way that just gives them a more youthful look. But I've decided instead of fighting the fate of growing older, that I'm just going to embrace it and age gracefully. Because that's really all we can do, right? It's coming whether we want it to or not. So might as well embrace it and just try to make it beautiful and just try to be a beautiful lady in this season of life and not try to be younger than what I am. So anyway, what I wanted to say is really it's not a secret that every woman desires to look their best. That starts in each woman at a very young age. As a young girl, we love getting fixed up and getting our hair done and having our nails painted and putting on a pretty dress and sparkly shoes. I mean, just from a young age, we enjoy that. And it doesn't change the older we get. We continue to want to have that glowing complexion and flawless skin, right? I mean, even though the age of pimples are behind us, we still want beautiful skin. And the older we get, the more and more products we begin to use to get that that glowing complexion. But if we were honest, the truth is we still want to feel young and we want to keep the wrinkles away. We all desire to keep our youth, right? I mean, it's something we always will treasure is our youth. But we secretly wish that there was really a fountain of youth somewhere hidden on this planet. Wouldn't that be awesome? But the truth is, unfortunately, age has a way of sneaking up on all of us. I mean, I look in the mirror continually thinking, who is this woman? How did I become 40? But the grueling fact is that age is no respecter of persons. It comes and it leaves its mark for everyone to see. It leaves those wrinkles behind. It leaves that gray hair. It leaves the evidence of aging. And so we can either fight it or we can just embrace it. And some women they refuse to embrace it. They refuse to accept it. And they're willing to pay any amount of money for the latest product that promises youth and glowing skin. Or they'll throw down any amount of dollars to have whatever the newest surgery is that promises to take away the wrinkles and make their skin firm again and lifts it up. So yeah, probably all of us who could afford those things might be tempted with doing that. But let's just be honest. No product, no surgery, no pill can keep the wrinkles away forever. I mean, I have seen women who are in their, goodness, 70s, and they've had a lot of work done, and they may not have one wrinkle on their face, but then you look at their neck, and their neck gives them away with all the saggy wrinkles on their neck or their hand or goodness, you can't keep every wrinkle away. It's coming. And you can definitely stretch out those wrinkles with surgery and hide them for a time. You might prolong the process, but eventually it's going to catch up with you and find you and leave its evidence behind, because aging is inevitable. It's coming. And as dreaded as it might be, it's a natural part of life. It's a process we all go through. It's a season of life that as long as you're living, you are going to go through. And I know young girls in their early 20s think, oh, I'm never going to be old. But the reality is, yes, you will. One day you'll be old too. But don't be disheartened. Aging is not something that's supposed to be dreaded. It's something that's supposed to be cherished. And there is a beauty seeker that has stood the test of time. I don't know if you know that or not, but it is a beauty seeker that guarantees a supernatural, beautiful, glorious, amazing glow. It's a glow, in fact, that is so fabulous, it will grab the attentions of others. Wow, did you hear me? It doesn't matter what your age is. You can be in your young 20s, you could be in your mid-40s, you can even be in your 60s. It honestly doesn't even matter how many wrinkles you have or how deep the bags under your eyes are. Ooh, that one's my rough one, the bags under my eyes. This beauty tip will offer success to everyone. It's guaranteed. It will bring success. It's the best kept beauty secret, and I'm going to share it with you today. Are you excited about it? Look, you might even want to go ahead and just grab a pen and paper down, because this beauty regimen will change your entire life. So here we go. Let's talk about it. There is only one way to get this natural, beautiful, sought after glow. Are you ready? Here it goes. A walk with God. Yep, that's right. I said it. There is no magical solution, lotion, or pill. There is no substitution for this process. There is no shortcuts. You can't buy it. You can't borrow it from someone else. It's plain and simple. You need a relationship with God. That love relationship with God will change your life. It will cause you to grow in the inside, and that growing and that passion and that love for the Lord will begin to just flow outside of your heart, and it'll just flow outside of your mouth. It'll even just glisten in your eyes, and it will produce a glow that no one can imitate. Did you know that there's actually an example in the Bible of a man who walked with God and his face glowed after being in the presence of the Lord? Yes. In Exodus 34:35, Moses was up on Mount Sinai writing the Ten Commandments. Do you remember this story? He's up on the Ten Commandments. He's writing what God tells him to, and he's spending time with the Lord. And he comes down from the mountain, and the children of Israel notice what? What do they notice? That his face is shining. And look what it says in Exodus 34:35. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. In fact, there was such a glow to it, he had to put a covering over his face. Is that not beautiful? Ladies, when we spend time with God, when we fellowship with him, when we listen to him, when we grow in an intimate relationship with him, something begins to change. It's a beauty secret, a beauty regimen that begins to transform us into the very image of God. And there's nothing more beautiful than a woman who reflects her Savior and her Creator. Moses' face was shining because he had been in the presence of the Lord. He had been with the light, and his countenance reflected that light. Ladies, you can also have the opportunity to reflect that light. But you can't reflect a light that doesn't exist in your life. If you're not spending time with the Lord, then you're not going to have his light. You can put the most expensive makeup on your face, and you can use all the night cream there is on the market, but that will never take the place of a relationship with God. You can't fake it. You either have his light and his presence in your life, or you don't. There's no in between. So this glow, this beauty secret, comes through a relationship when you spend time with the Lord. Psalms 4:6, the latter part of verse 6 says, "The Lord, lift up thou the light of thy countenance upon us." Oh, if that could just be our heart's desire. Instead of putting so much focus and time and energy into making ourselves beautiful on the outside, if we would focus on the Lord shining his light upon us on the inside, it would automatically just transform the outside. There was a very popular song. I want to say it was in the early 90s. I know most of you are familiar with this song. If you've never heard it, go check it out on YouTube. Just go listen to it on YouTube and listen to the words. But right now I want to share the words to you. It's from the song, the early 90s praise and worship song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. And I want to read some of these words. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by thy truth. You now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. For this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word. Lord, let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood, I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me, shine on me. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Isn't that beautiful? There's a couple of parts there I just want to point out. I love the line that says, Lord, I come into your awesome presence from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood, I may enter your brightness. Consume all my darkness. Shine on me. I love that verse right there where the author is just begging for the presence of God to be in his life and for the shadows to be overtaken by his radiance. And then we can enter his brightness and it would consume, his brightness will consume our darkness. Isn't that beautiful? That when we get in the presence of God, his light can overtake our sinful nature. It can overtake our temptations. It can overtake our insecurities. It can overtake all the ugliness that this world just tries to seduce us with. And we enter his presence and his light can fill the shadows, illuminate the things that need to be taken out of our life, reveal the sin, reveal the weaknesses in our life so that he will consume our darkness so that we can reflect his light. I just love that. And then it goes on to say, as we gaze your kingly brightness, as we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness. Moms, listen, that is our ultimate goal right there, is to live in such a way that everything we do reflects the King. Everything we do displays his likeness. The way we mother, the way we discipline, the way we structure our kids and train them is so that we are preparing them and teaching them and training them how to have a relationship with the Lord. But we can't teach that to our children if we're not doing it ourselves. Listen, our light needs to burn the brightest at home. It's easy to go and burn our light out in the world, but God has entrusted us with these children. He wants us to love them and nurture them and invest in them and shine our lights to them. I love the quote that Mother Teresa says, and I don't know exactly word for word, but you'll get the idea. She said, if you want to make a difference in the world, go home and love your family. Start with your family. That's where it all begins. Begins there. And our children need to see a mother that's beautiful, not just beautiful on the outside, but beautiful on the inside. And it should be our desire to mirror the image of God and display his likeness. I think this should be the goal of every Christian lady, every mom, every wife. This should be our goal, to reflect God in everything we do. Our face should display the likeness of God. Could you imagine what that would even look like? I think about that for just a minute. If someone, you know, we hear this saying all the time, oh, you look just like your father, or you look just like your mom. Well, what if someone said, wow, you truly look like your heavenly father? What would those characteristics look like? What would that attribute be like? Maybe a little bit of holiness, a whole lot of godliness, righteousness, gentleness, kindness, tenderness, thoughtfulness, peacefulness, meekness. Yeah. A little bit of love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faith. Those fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22. Patience, temperance. Yeah. Those would be the attributes that would most reflect our Father, right? Not gorgeous hair, not designer clothes, not flawless skin. Although those things would be nice to have as well. Not long, luscious lashes and pearly white teeth. Those would not be the things that would reflect our Heavenly Father. It'd be what's on the inside. And let me just say, have you ever been around a woman, you know, your first thought was, wow, this woman is gorgeous. I mean, she just seemed to have it all, right? The perfect little body and the long eyelashes and the long luscious hair and beautiful complexion and flawless skin. But you got to talking to her and you realized real quickly that the outside didn't match the inside. She wasn't as pretty on the inside. And then on the opposite end of that spectrum, maybe you've come across a woman who wasn't really at first glance all that beautiful. She didn't have it all. She might have been a few pounds overweight, or, you know, maybe her hair was a little thinner, or it was graying and she had a few wrinkles. But when you began to talk to her, her spirit just drew you and connected you to God. She lifted you up. And you could tell this woman was anointed by the hand of God, and she had just this way of, wow, just bringing you closer to God just in conversation. And as you're talking to her, the more beautiful she becomes. And you walk away just humbled by this beautiful soul you just met. It happens a lot, doesn't it? The looks on the outside do not determine who we are. And if we honestly want to reflect those beautiful characteristics that God has that allow us to glow in a dark room, then we have to spend time with the Father. A lot of times we just miss it. We miss the point. We get so busy focusing on the outer details that we miss the main beauty step, and that's our heart. Not our face, our heart. And listen, I'm not here to knock fashion because I absolutely love fashion. I love makeup. I obsess over jewelry and purses and shoes. I enjoy getting all dolled up, okay? I enjoy looking my best. I like fixing up. I'm a little scary looking if I don't. But it cannot be my main focus in life. If I'm dependent on my clothes and my accessories, my makeup or my hair to define my self-worth or to determine my beauty, then I've missed the mark. Look, 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that of outward adorning, of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." And then in 1 Timothy 2:8-9, it says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Listen, I fall into the trap of, oh, if I only had this outfit, I would be content. If I could only have that new purse, I would be happy. Oh, if I could just get those pair of shoes. Or man, if I could just have this brand of makeup, that expensive lipstick or that skincare product, you know, then I'll feel good on myself. But y'all, maybe we should rely more on God for our beauty and less on materialism and makeup. Psalms 90:17 says, let the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us. It's Him. He is the way of allowing us to be beautiful. I know Hollywood and TV tells us otherwise, and social media influencers, they will try to detour you. But there's a way of telling what a person truly is, and that's by the heart. A heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. What is your heart saying today? Does your heart say you were vain, that you have your priorities wrong, that you've gotten distracted, that you need a renewing, that you need time with God, that your relationship with God is questionable? Or does your heart say you have a love relationship with God that's unshakable? You have an undeniable, unexplainable glow about you. Your priorities are in order. You are renewed, refreshed, and recharged because you have a walk with God. What does your heart say today? Remember the old saying, your eyes are the window to your soul? Well, if you want that glow on your face and that sparkle in your eyes, then remember, it's not something you can put on. It's something you have to put in. You have to put it in your heart, put it in your life, put it in your soul. And that's a relationship with the Lord. It's the light that only He can offer. The source that comes from Him is the light, the glow that will never fade. It will never be quenched. It will never run out. It'll never wither away. And there's no substitution for it. There's no shortcut for it. There's no age limit. It's available for all. Money can't buy it and the world can't claim it. It's the best kept beauty secret, and it's available for you, and it's available for me. If you haven't spent time with the Father today, go do that. Your children need you to walk with the Father. So ladies, I love you. Thank you for spending time with me today on the Mommy Meltdown. Have a blessed day, and we'll talk to you next time.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuning in to the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. And as usual, we're going to start off with Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8. And it goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And let the church say amen. Welcome back. Thank you all for tuning in. You are listening to What Now God radio show. Thank you so much. I am your host, Cheryl Woods, author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together. This is the show where we answer the question, what now, God? When we're dealing with life's tragedies, when we are dealing with issues personally, when we're dealing with things that may have been brought to us by our family, by our friends, the tragedies, the wars, everything that's going on with the world, we ask ourselves, what now, God? What do we do as Christians? What do we do as brothers and sisters in Christ to help each other out as we help ourselves? Again, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm just excited, so excited. Every first and third Friday, you can catch us here on the Lifted Authors Radio Network. Shout out to our CEO, Tammy Polk, as well as Miss Kayla Pageant of Finding My Way Radio Network. I am, again, your host, Cheryl Woods, and you can catch me here every first and third Friday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's 10:30 a.m. Eastern. So listen, tune in, and tell a friend. So today's topic is, when you feel like your life is falling apart, what do you do? And as I stated before, I'm the author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together, which is available on Amazon, as well as my website, sistars.org, if you would like to have a wonderful read. But I feel like I'm kind of an expert on the topic because there's so many times throughout my 42 years of living that I just felt like my life was falling apart. And I even asked myself the question, what now, God? What do I do now that I'm dealing with this situation? So on today, we're going to discuss that topic. What do you do when you feel like your life is falling apart? Okay. And I'm going to go over three specific points that are going to help you, the listener, hopefully not just get through some things yourself, but we all know that when we go through things, sometimes it's because we are meant to help someone else get through that exact same situation, okay? God doesn't just send us through things because He's not a loving God or He wants us to be tested, okay? There's a purpose for every situation, every trial that we go through. And hopefully on today, on this broadcast, we can discuss that. And as always, I would love to invite you, if you are an author, if you are an activist, if you are a speaker, if you have a cause that you want to speak about on the What Now God radio show, I do invite you to apply to be a guest on one of our upcoming segments. And you can do that by going to bit.ly/WNG radio guest. Okay. So go ahead and apply. I'd love to have you on the next show. So without further ado, when you feel like your life is falling apart, what do you do? Now, the first thing is,
that you have to remember, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, what he said, what she said, what they said, you have to know without a doubt that God is working all things together for your good, okay? So when we're going through some things, it can seem like the worst of times, you know, whether it's a loss, whether it's, you know, a loss of job, a loss of your loved one, whether it's a health scare, you're dealing with an illness. When we're going through, what happens is our focus becomes so laser pointed to what we're going through. We're not looking up where we should be looking. We're not looking to God necessarily, but a lot of times our focus goes into that bad feeling, goes into that hurt, that pain, whatever it is that we're dealing with. But we have to remember that no matter what we're going through at that time, that God is working all things together for our good. So what does that mean? It means that, yes, I may have lost my job today. Yes, I may not know where my next meal is coming from or how I'm going to pay my bills. I may be dealing with a diagnosis from my doctor that does not look great. I may have just broken up with the love of my life. I may have just lost someone to, you know, to a tragedy that has really just taken me out of, you know, out of myself to where I'm feeling so hurt. But guess what? All of those things, God is going to work together. And sometimes we question God and we ask, why me? But we have to remember that God is an awesome, on time, never failing God. Okay. He's all powerful. And a lot of times his ways, not a lot of times, but most of the time, all of the time, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there is nothing impossible for God. So that bad situation, that tragedy, that health scare, whatever it is, he can still use all of that bad stuff and turn it into something so good, so great, that instead of crying out, why me, you'll be thanking him. And trust me, because like I said, in these 42 years of living, I have lived through some stuff. And guess what? They say that what kills you, what doesn't kill you, only makes you stronger. That is the truth. And the fact is that you have already, if you're listening to this radio show, you're listening to this broadcast, you have already survived 100% of everything that the devil has tried to use to take you out. So guess what? You're on the winning team. God is yet working all things together for your good. So I want you to remember that, number one. And number two, your purpose is often born through your pain. We all go through storms in life, okay? You, me, our parents, our kids, we all have our personal storms that we will go through in life. It's inevitable. But the question is, are you just gonna go through it? Or are you going to allow God to grow you through it? Okay. That storm is going to teach you some things about yourself. I promise it's going to teach you some things about yourself that you would have never known were it not for you going through that storm. So you're going to learn some things about you that you never knew. Okay. That storm is going to connect you with some people that you would have never, ever connected with otherwise. That storm is going to awake a strength in you that's going to not only equip you to help somebody else through their storm, but it's going to have you closer to God. It's going to have you trusting him more, calling on him more than you have ever done before, okay? And what is that going to do? That's going to build that relationship with God. That's going to build that faith muscle, okay? Because we all know when we're, it's like when you're exercising, all right? You may start off only being able to lift 5 pounds or 10 pounds. You may be able to do about 10 reps at a time. But then as you work, as you continue to exercise, as you continue to lift those weights, then the next week, maybe you're up to 15 and 20 and so on and so forth. The same thing goes for our faith muscle, okay? When we go through things, when we go through those storms in life, it builds our faith. Because what happens? Like I said, we start calling on God more. And when we're calling on God more, we're building a better relationship. Our prayer becomes more effective. Our being able to listen to God and hear from Him becomes more clear. So instead of us throwing ourselves at God's mercy, now we're communicating. Now we're not just praying, we're worshiping God. We're thanking God because we know that without God, where would we be? Okay? So again, your purpose is often born through your storm, your pain. So what does that mean when we say that our purpose is born through our pain? Sometimes when life is going good, you know, we're sailing through life, the sun is shining, everything is going right. What happens? We may continue to pray every day, but we're just going through the motions. We're not really connected, as connected with God as we sometimes should be. So when we go through that pain, we begin to learn things about ourselves. We begin to learn that we are stronger than we thought we were. We begin to see ourselves and other people in different lights. We begin to tap into our inner strengths, our inner gifts, our inner talents that we may not never have known that we had. And from that, we figure out, okay, wow, I persevered through this storm and I'm great at this. I'm great at helping someone else now, because now that I've been through my storm, I can relate to others who are going through. I can teach them and show them that, guess what? I made it. And if I made it, you can too. Or through my storm, I got through my storm by writing. Wow, I never knew I was so great at writing. Maybe it's my purpose to write. Maybe it's my purpose to share my thoughts through poetry, to share my thoughts through spoken word, through writing books, through motivational speaking. Or we find out that I'm great at listening. I'm great at inspiring. I'm great at giving people encouragement, okay? I'm great at giving people advice. Or through your pain, maybe you find that, you know, that you were so broke, you had to figure out a way to make some money. So now you're making meals to bring in extra money. You're selling plates, or maybe you're doing crochet, or maybe you're doing any other type of creative work that you've used in your time of financial problems. So now what happens? That pain of you not having enough has now turned into a purpose, to where now you know that, oh, I can make money doing this, but also I can help people doing this. Okay. So again, we have to remember that so often that pain that we're going through, that struggle that we're going through, is just those birthing pains of birthing our purpose. And if we keep pushing, if we do not give up, if we do not give in, if we trust God, continue to trust God through it all, then guess what? We're going to birth something so amazing. We're going to birth something so beautiful that we'll forget about those labor pains, ladies and gentlemen. We will forget about those labor pains, and we're just going to remember and see the blessing that was birthed, that purpose that was birthed through our pain, okay? So first of all, remember, no matter how it looks, that God is working all things together for your good. And secondly, remember that often through our purpose is born through our pain. So although we go through those struggles in life, although we go through those storms in life, it's okay. God is going to get you through it, and you're going to come out so much better than before, okay? And let's just be honest. When we're going through things, we're not thinking about, you know, any of this. So that's why we have to try to remember. We have to try to stay connected to God, even when we're not going through things, because a lot of times He'll prepare us ahead of time for something that we may be about to go through, or for something that our loved ones are about to go through. So many of you know, in the last couple of weeks, tragedy hit a famous basketball player, Kobe Bryant, who most of us know. I don't care if you're a basketball fan, if you're a Los Angeles Lakers fan or not. nine times out of 10, you knew who Kobe Bryant was one way or another. Left high school, went straight to the NBA. His dad was an awesome basketball player. You may have even seen him in the news, you know, for some not so savory things when he was accused of rape. Let's just keep it real. And over the last 2 weeks, we watched as tragedy unfolded within the life of Kobe Bryant and his wife, Vanessa, and their four daughters. And unfortunately, you know, I pray for the family. I pray for Vanessa. I pray for his remaining children, because just watching, just getting the notification, we were in church when our pastor, you know, said we need to pray for Kobe Bryant and his family. And he announced the sad, just unbelievable news that he had went down in the helicopter. And when I say my entire church family, I mean, we're all mourning. You would think that Kobe was, you know, our relative, a close brother, a close uncle, or our own father, or our own son, how we were mourning and how the mood in church just completely changed. Okay. So as we're sitting on the outside looking in on this family going through this storm, it was hard, and it is still hard, to see that anything purposeful or anything good can come out of this tragedy. And then when you find out, when we all found out that his baby girl, Gianna, was also with him, and seven other people that also lost their lives, okay? Each just as important as Kobe. You know, a lot of times we may send condolences to celebrities because they're in the limelight and we feel like we know them, we feel a connection to them. But we also have to remember that there were others, seven other families, two that were, you know, a husband and wife and their child, and then also another player's mom and herself, as well as the pilot and another coach who also had a family. They all had families. So I said all that to say that when we're going through the storm, when we're watching our loved ones, when we're watching our families going through the storm, sometimes we don't see the purpose. We don't see any good that can possibly come out of it, especially when it's something as tragic as an accident that causes death, as tragic as something that is so publicized that you're constantly reminded of it, that you as a mother, that you as a daughter, that you, you know, have a connection. You can relate so much, and you're so sad because of this tragedy. It's hard for us to figure out, how are we going to get through this storm? How are we going to help our loved ones through that storm? And the question does arise, what now, God? What do we do? Well, let me tell you what I saw. And this is just my personal opinion. I saw so many people praying, more people praying that I've ever seen before, online and social media, within my family, within my church family, people that I didn't even know, you know, that were Christian, that believed in God. They came out, they prayed, they, you know, sent out love, they made cards, they came out to the Staples Center, the celebrities, you know, everybody was just shocked and hurt and tears. So this tragedy caused so many other people to go to God, caused so many other people to send out prayers to the families, the survivors, that I know without a doubt that something good has to come out of it. As horrible and as sickening and as tragic as the loss of all nine of those lives were, those were people's dads and moms and sisters and brothers and, you know, uncles. It is tragic. But on the flip end, how many people sent their prayers to God? How many people actually went out of their way to be there for the families, to help them through their tragedies? How many people were, you know, when they found out that Kobe had just came from Mass, you know, he's Catholic, so the news, you know, posted that he had just came from prayer. How many people turned their lives over to God? How many people instead of holding grudges with their family members, instead of, you know, just going about the day-to-day ins and outs, instead called those people, called those loved ones who they may not have spoken to in a long time and reconnected, okay? So throughout this tragedy, throughout this storm, throughout the pain, there was still a purpose that God has, and it's still being revealed to many of us. So we have to pay attention. So again, oftentimes we go through our storms in life, but we have to know that in that storm, God is with us. It will bring us closer to God. It will help us to trust Him more, call on Him more, okay? And no matter how bad it looks, things are going to be all right, okay? So that was the second thing. And last but not least, when you feel like your life is falling apart, it just may be God putting you back together. We're all guilty of holding on to some things that we should not, okay? And if you like me, I hold on for things a lot longer than I should. I am guilty of that. But we're all guilty of holding on to things a lot longer than we should. Things that God has told us to let go. Things that we know we should let go. But for whatever reason, we are still holding on. We have a grip on it and we won't let it go. Whether it's a thing, whether it's a person that you're holding on to, whether it's a place, whether it's shame, whether it's guilt, whether it's unforgiveness, or maybe it's anger that you're holding on to, whatever it is, we've gotten so used to holding on to it that it starts to become a part of us. We live it, we breathe it, we think it, and God sees it. He knows. He sees that sad condition that we are in. And the good thing is, He loves us too much to leave us in that same sad place of hopelessness, that place of fear, of confusion, of hurt, of pain. So what does God do? I'll tell you what He does. God allows some things to happen, some people to betray us, some losses to occur, some health issues to happen, even tragedies where we have no choice but to call on Him, okay? Sometimes God will do a thing that'll make it to where you have nobody but Him. You have no choice but to call on Him, to get on your knees and cry out, God, help me, okay? Like I said, I have been there. I have felt like my life was falling apart, all right? I have been through, and I know my listeners, you may be going through something right now. You may have be just getting over something, but we've all been there, okay? And so what happens is God allows these things to happen where we have no choice but to call on Him, okay? My God, thank you, God. And then at that moment when God finally gets our full attention, what does He do? He just begins to love on us. He begins to ease our pain, to take over that burden. God speaks to us. He lets us know, my child, I got you, okay? I got you. Somebody needs to hear that. My child, I got you, okay? And the part that I love the most is how He replaces that pain and all those bad feelings, all that negative energy that we were so tightly holding on to, like it was, you know, like our life depended on it. He replaces that with joy and the comforting assurance of the truth of His word, okay? He tells us and He shows us, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Praise God. All things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Let me say that again. All things, are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed. Do you hear that? He reminds us to fear not, for I am with you. And my favorite, He lets us know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. You see, He reassures us. He comforts us with the truth of His word. When we feel like our life is falling apart, He reminds of reminds us of all his wonderful promises. So to my listeners today, who may be going through a personal storm, who may be surrounded by those who are going through storms, and maybe you're a friend or a family member and your loved one is going through some things, we just have to remember that when trouble comes your way, when tragedy hits, when it feels like your life is falling apart, just rest in knowing that God is with you through every storm. Your purpose is being birthed through that pain. And God is not, I repeat, God is not going to allow you to fall apart without his perfect plan to put you back together stronger, physically, mentally, spiritually. And yes, honey, when I say God is good, he will put you back together way better than before. I'm a living witness, okay? So in the midst of all those personal issues, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of wars and rumors of wars, in the midst of unspeakable tragedies, just do your best to stay focused on God and allow him to help you find the way. Because even as he helps you find the way, he's also teaching you how to help somebody else find theirs, okay? So again, when your life is falling apart, just know that it really may be God putting you back together. And on that note, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in, for listening to this week's segment of the What Now God Radio Show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. I'll see you every first and third Friday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Tune in and tell a friend. Listen to the What Now God Radio Show. I'll see you all next time. You have a blessed and happy Friday.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.